At the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent off two disciples with the instructions, "Go into the village straight ahead of you, and immediately you will find a tethered donkey with her colt standing beside her. Untie them and lead them back to me. If anyone questions you, say, 'The rabbi needs them.' Then they will let them go at once." This came about to fulfill what was said through the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, your sovereign comes to you without display, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." So the disciples went off and did what Jesus had ordered. They brought the donkey and her colt, and after they laid their cloaks on the animals, Jesus mounted and rode towards the city. Great crowds of people spread their cloaks on the road, while some began to cut branches from the trees and lay them along the path. The crowds, those who went in front of Jesus and those who followed, were all shouting, "Hosanna to the heir to the house of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Most High. Hosanna in the highest." As Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred to its depths, demanding, "Who is this?" And the crowd kept answering, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is a story from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
Did everybody get the little sheets that Mark designed and Tracy's been putting out for us each week about our particular subject for that week? Anybody need some? If you want one, anybody need one? Everybody got one today? Great. So today is the last day in the last Sunday in the season of Lent. Lent finishes later this week with Holy Saturday. And I have a confession to make right off the bat. This message caused me anxiety. Of the many messages I have done over the years, I've probably started this one several times and changed it several times. And why is that? Because at the time we chose the subjects for this theme of Lent, the theme of giving up, and each of the subjects for each Sunday, the subject of giving up anxiety seemed to be a good idea. But as it turns out, as I am researching, reading this week, I find out we can't. We can't give up anxiety. Anxiety is normal for human beings. We all experience it at times, and it's a normal state under certain circumstances. However, there are increasing numbers of people who frequently have intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations, and they feel anxious a lot of the time. Sometimes it's more intense than others, but they feel this anxiety on a regular basis with no real reason to feel anxiety. They're just always anxious. These feelings of anxiety and panic interfere with daily activities, are sometimes difficult to control, are out of proportion to the actual danger, and can last a long time for people. People may even avoid situations or other people or places or not go out in order to prevent these feelings. In fact, anxiety disorders are the most common mental disorders today globally. Anxiety disorders. And they're on the rise. This is not normal. And it's becoming increasingly debilitating to society as people are experiencing more social anxiety, generalized anxiety, and this sense of hopelessness about the future. Granted, we live in a very fraught world these days, and this anxiety is just becoming so common for people this lack of uncertainty and lack of security is becoming a potent condition for people to experience anxiety on a regular basis. Anxiety has become so common in our world and in our country that it's estimated that 1 in 5 people in Canada will experience some form of anxiety disorder. Not just regular anxiety, we all experience. 1 in 5 people. Which means that just in this group of people gathered today, there may be people in the tens who are experiencing anxiety today. And some people don't know it because it's just their norm these days. Anxiety has become so common that we have begun to normalize it as a state of living in this world today. And it should not be. As I said, experiencing occasional anxiety is a normal part of life. We all encounter events that are uncomfortable or out of control or scary. And under these circumstances, it's natural to feel anxious. It would actually be unnatural not to feel anxious when something scary is coming our way. We all feel anxiety. But I also discovered something else interesting this week. Anxiety and excitement are the same thing under different circumstances. They go by different names depending on what we are anticipating. If we're looking forward to something that's a little scary, but it's good, we think it's going to be good, like a competition or performing or going someplace we've never been before, we're excited about that. But it has the same symptoms as anxiety. But if what we're anticipating coming up it seems bad to us, we call it anxiety. Both produce stress hormones, those butterflies in our stomach, increased blood pressure, maybe queasiness or dizziness. But excitement and anxiety are the same thing. We just name it different under different circumstances. And they're normal under situations of stress or anticipation of something, either good or bad. You know what? Even Jesus and his disciples experienced anxiety. Just before this event of Jesus going into Jerusalem for Passover with his disciples and all the people putting the palms and their cloaks out in front of him like a parade, there's a story in the Gospel of John. It tells us this story that prior to Jesus going with his disciples for Passover, his friend Lazarus has died. And Jesus hasn't come during that time, even when he was told Lazarus was sick. Lazarus has stayed away, Jesus stayed away, and Lazarus has died. And finally Jesus says, let's go to Jerusalem, or very near to Jerusalem, to see Mary and Martha, because Lazarus has died. And the disciples are like, no, we don't want to go, and we don't think you should go. The disciples are anxious, because Jesus' life has been threatened. In fact, he has already been threatened with a stoning, with a public stoning. And where they're going is just a few kilometers from Jerusalem, where the Feast of Passover was to take place, and the disciples become highly anxious and say, we can't go. Something's going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. The disciples are very anxious and try to keep Jesus from going, fearing that he would be arrested and put to death. But Jesus insisted on going. So finally, one of the disciples, Thomas, who we've always called Doubting Thomas, but Thomas is the strong one right now, and Thomas says, okay, if he's going to go, we're going to go with him, even if we have to die with him. That's Thomas. And with that, they did go to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and went on to Jerusalem for Passover and ultimately to Jesus' death. And while we don't often consider what's going on with the disciples or their emotional states most of the time, when I look back on the disciples and what's gone on as they've followed Jesus, they seem to be in the state of anxiety a lot. Like, look at all these people. What should we do with these people? How do we feed them? And Jesus said, relax. It's going to be okay. We'll take care of it. And other times they'd say, ooh, everybody get back. Stay away from Jesus. If people were crowding around, they often shooed people away from Jesus, children or disabled people or women, anxious that Jesus not be bothered by people. And Jesus would say, no, relax. Let them come. I want them to come. They worried about who would be first in Jesus' kingdom. So they would come up and say, Jesus, can I be there on your right hand? Can I be on your left hand? Can I be, you know? Jesus said, not for you to determine. Relax. And when Jesus went off to pray early in the morning, they panicked and went running around looking for him. And when they finally found him, they said, hey, where were you? We were looking for you. And he said, relax. You knew where I'd be. And occasionally, Jesus would scold them for being anxious. Oh, ye of little faith, he would say. Anxiety is just a global and common experience for all humans. But too much anxiety is becoming detrimental to our physical and mental health and to society itself. It is limiting our happiness and well-being, and it's becoming an increasingly serious issue for young people today. I've spoken actually, in fact, to two young people recently, and I don't get as much chance as I would like to speak to young folks, but I've spoken to two young people in recent who really struggle with anxiety. As we encounter Jesus now on a donkey riding into the city with the disciples in tow, the scene really reads like it's one of celebration and joyful anticipation, with people out yelling and screaming and throwing out their coats and breaking off palm leaves and putting them in front of him and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, here he comes. But there is this underlying sense of dread and anxiety, at least by the disciples and Jesus. There is just no way they could see this ending well. And despite the crowd's enthusiasm for Jesus, this prophet from Nazareth, soon there are going to be other crowds calling for his crucifixion. And that's exactly what the disciples expected. Those were anxious times for the disciples. We seem to be in some rather anxious times today. And we can't give up anxiety. But I discovered something else in my reading this week. There are two primary responses to anxiety that we can give up, that will help us with anxiety, which will mitigate the effects of anxiety on our lives, especially those who experience an unhealthy amount of anxiety on a regular basis. Our two primary responses to the state of anxiety is worry and procrastination. That is, we continue to worry about what's going on or what's going to happen, and we often fear the worst. Somebody said to me in Duinton this morning, I once heard somebody say, worry is experiencing a bad thing over and over again. We imagine it in our minds. And we also tend to put off decisions or doing something about a situation, hoping that it's either going to resolve itself, or if we ignore it or someone, if we ignore it long enough or leave it to someone else, something will get done about it. Worry and procrastination, things we can work on giving up. Worry is the thinking part of anxiety. It's an excessive negative focus on something that may or may not happen, but that happens mostly in our own imagination. That's different than just considering, stopping to think about a situation, considering it, thinking about the possibilities and the next steps you can take to deal with what might happen. Different things, different than worry. Worry is that incessant chatter that keeps going on in our heads, that we go over and over and over again anticipating what might go bad. Anybody have that experience? I'll admit it, I've been up since 2 this morning. worrying about things. It just becomes a habit. However, it's a habit we can break. Although we may need help doing it. The writer of Philippians says this, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Sometimes the more we have faith, the less anxious we can become. Not all the time. But if we can trust, if we can pray, presenting our thoughts to God, we can develop a new habit. There are practices that we can engage in for worry, practices of prayer, meditation, breathing exercises, counseling, sometimes distraction, talking to a friend, exercise, being with our animals, can all help with worrying. There are things we can do. Brené Brown in her book Atlas of the Heart writes that those who like certainty are more prone to anxiety because they have difficulty with not knowing. They have difficulty with not knowing what the future might be. They like certainty. If you like certainty, you're more prone to anxiety because the world is incredibly uncertain. There's no guarantees about our future. That's why we like to control things. That's right. Jesus says in Matthew, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow look after itself. It has enough worries of its own. Today's troubles are enough for today. Just deal with today." As we heard last week, one of the things we can give up is needing to know the outcome, needing to have a guaranteed outcome. We can't possibly know what the future will bring, and we can't control it. We're going to have to leave that to God. And the other characteristic of anxiety is the propensity to procrastinate. We worry and stew about something without ever making a decision to do something about it. Even if the decision is to do nothing, that is a decision. When you make a decision to do nothing, you can let it go. You've made the decision. Our anxiety builds and builds around something if we don't take action to do something about it. And sometimes I know it takes time to make a big decision. But thinking about it and making a decision is better than worrying about it and procrastinating about doing something. If we're habitual procrastinators who'd rather worry than do something, then that's something we can work towards giving up rather than being anxious about something. And finally, I want to say we can lean into God and into our faith tradition, believing that in the big scheme of things, we really don't have much control at all, and we'll have to give up certainty and our need to control things. Our best practice for anxiety is learning to live in the moment, taking each day as it comes, and not anticipating what tomorrow will bring. So I want to say, we'll never give up anxiety. It's just part of life. Yet we don't need to live in a state of anxiety. We can learn to trust God, ourselves, those around us, and life. Giving tomorrow to God and living in today. Jesus reminded us to come to Him when we're worried and anxious and weary, and to cast our burdens on Him, and then we'll find rest for our souls. We'll never be at rest as long as we're anxious. Doesn't finding rest for our souls have a nice ring to it? So let's work toward that. Let's take a moment for reflection.